Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited, hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to Entero Healthcare Solutions Q1 FY26 earnings call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, and we have Mr. Balakrishna Kaushik, Group CFO. I will hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, and then we'll move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for Q1 FY26. My name is Prabhat, and on this call, I am joined by Mr. Balakrishna Kaushik, Group CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and also on our company website. We have started the new financial year on a strong note, with Q1 revenues growing 28% year-on-year, as against the IPM growth of 9%, to rupees 1,404 crores. On like-to-like basis, the revenue growth is 31%. 3% growth is adjusted after change in revenue recognition for a certain contract on net margin basis. More importantly, this growth is broad-based, supported both by organic expansion contributing 15% on like-to-like basis, where we continue to deliver around 1.6 times the market growth rate, and the rest through M&A executed in last financial year. We have already announced more than 400 crores of acquisitions in the last quarter, in the last conference call, some of which have already closed in the current quarter, and the balance also will be closed in the quarter two itself. At the same time, there are more deals in pipeline, which will be announced once the transaction documents are signed. Acquisitions will remain an important lever for growth, but our approach will continue to be disciplined and value-accretive. Gross profit came in at rupees 140 crores, up 40% year-on-year, with our gross margins improving by 83 basis points to 9.9% versus last year and 17 basis points versus last quarter. This improvement has been driven by higher value-added services, margin-accretive categories, and procurement efficiencies. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 50 crores, representing a growth of 66% year-on-year, with margins improving by 82 basis points versus last year to 3.6%. Profit after tax increased 47% year-on-year to rupees 30 crores. In spite of higher gross margins versus last quarter, the EBITDA margins declined from 3.7% to 3.6% versus last quarter, as the operating leverage impact was not felt in this quarter due to annual salary and wage increases being implemented at the beginning of the year. Our revenue base increased by 5% versus last quarter, while operating costs increased by 9% over last quarter. Now, the fixed manpower costs have been fully baked in the quarterly operating cost numbers, and as the revenue growth catches up in the rest of the year, the positive impact of operating leverage will start playing out. Even the IPM revenue grows significantly from quarter two onwards and after the rainy season. This is in line with our historical quarterly performance, and even our full-year guidance of 4% plus EBITDA margins had factored this in the projections. Equally important is our continued focus on cash flows. We have moderated our net working capital from about 71 days about a year ago to around 66 days in the last couple of quarters. We have initiated multiple initiatives to further optimize both inventory and receivables. Through ERP-driven controls and data science-based techniques, and we are targeting another 10% reduction in working capital days by end of this financial year. Our network and reach have strengthened further. We now serve over 71,000 retail pharmacies and more than 2,500 hospitals across 469 districts in India, supported by 102 warehouses strategically located across the country. Our product portfolio has expanded to over 74,700 SKUs sourced from more than 2,600 healthcare product manufacturers. This scale is not just about numbers. It is about reach, vast product portfolio, service reliability and quality, which helps us to continuously gain confidence and wallet share from our customers. More and more customers, including even organized retailers, find our value proposition compelling and unique. At the same time, as we penetrate larger parts of India with significant share in micro markets, we become significantly more attractive for any healthcare product manufacturer to collaborate or partner with us both for demand fulfillment and demand generation activities. Our strategic playbook centered on discipline in organic growth, organic scale-up in underserved markets, and deepening partnerships with healthcare brands continues to deliver and bring us closer to our long-term vision of building India's most comprehensive, efficient, and digitally integrated healthcare distribution platform. We are executing on three clear growth pillars. First, organic expansion. Deepening penetration in our existing markets, winning a larger wallet share from existing customers, and expanding our product range, especially into higher margin categories like medical devices, diagnostics, surgical consumables, trade generics, and specialty pharma. Second, discipline in organic growth. We are very selective with acquisitions now. We only acquire where there is a strong strategic fit, whether it's a new geography, a differentiated product segment, or a capability that strengthens our value proposition. Third, operational excellence. This means better procurement, technology-driven efficient warehousing and delivery infrastructure, and optimized operating cost and working capital management. It is worth reiterating that the Indian pharma distribution market is still highly fragmented, with organized players accounting for less than 10% of the market. Our pan-India technology-led and category-neutral platform is difficult to replicate. This positions us uniquely to capture outsized share gains as the market consolidates. Looking ahead, we are on track to deliver 30% revenue growth in FY26, including both organic and inorganic growth, surpassing 4% full-year EBITDA margins and generating positive operating cash flows. Margin expansion will be driven by richer product mix, procurement gains, value-added services, and operating leverage from scale. We are targeting to achieve the working capital target of 60 days by end of this financial year. In summary, quarter 1 FY26 has been a strong start to the year. We continue to deliver on the vast consolidation opportunity in an extremely fragmented healthcare supply chain through organic expansion as well as disciplined M&A. We continue to add customers, enhance product portfolio through collaboration with healthcare brands, diversify into new product categories such as medical devices, diagnostics, trade generics, etc. to become a one-stop solution for our customers. With this, I close my opening remarks and invite, people to ask questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you team for the opportunity and congrats on the improvement in gross margins and EBITDA margins. A couple of questions on the growth part. You did mention that 31% is a like-to-like growth, with 3% is related to revenue recognition impact. But if I look at organic growth of 15% and adjust and calculate the inorganic contribution for the quarter, it seems sequentially, declining. Last quarter, I think you mentioned around 200 to 225 crore was the contribution from the inorganic revenue. What would be that number, and why is, if the number has lowered down, why is that?
Yeah, Bala, how do you respond to this breakup into organic and inorganic?
Yeah. So, Chintan, this is Bala here.
Hi, Bala. Hi.
So, if you look at the growth, the 225 that you mentioned for last quarter, that right. number was about 218, and this quarter that's about 230 crores. So there is a growth. When you look at organic, inorganic for entities that were acquired during the quarter one of FY25, the portion that was there in the reported numbers will move into organic. So if you look at like to like, it's about 230 versus 218 of last year.
Okay.
So there is a growth on those numbers as well.
Okay, got it. And in terms of acquisition pipeline, if we can, we still keeping track on the 800 to 1,000 odd crore of revenue acquisition for the year, or any change on that number if you want to highlight.
Yeah, so, if you look at the guidance that we gave on this year's of revenue growth of 30%, that includes both organic and inorganic part, right? So,
right.
The inorganic part, we had assumed around 500 crores of recognized revenue or books. So, which is what we are on track. We have already, done 400 crores in quarter one, we announced, which will be, start reflecting from quarter two onwards. And there are further more acquisitions in pipeline that will be, completed.
Got it. I'll join back again. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhargav from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, team, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in your press release, you mentioned that earlier the guidance was to do acquisition by August, but that has been pushed over to November. So if you can share some reasons for the same, that's my first question.
We have pushed to November, isn't it?
So in the stock exchange, because we have given August 15th, so this is going towards end of August, we have put it as...
For the one that we announced, the
quarter one that we announced, the two.
So all these acquisitions that we have announced in previous conference calls, that will be completed during this quarter. Two of them we have already completed. One of them, we are just waiting for drug license to conclude.
Okay, so what you are hinting at is that in the second quarter, a couple of acquisitions will be announced.
Not announced, completed. The one that we announced previously.
Yeah, so your revenue recognition will start happening.
Yes, from quarter two, yeah.
Okay, and what would be the size of them in terms of revenue from the second quarter?
It depends, on the day when we are able to close. As I told you, a couple of them we have already closed, right? So some of them, the revenue is flowing from July beginning. One of them is going to flow from July end. One of them, everything is complete. We are just waiting for the new drug license in the new company. This, the drug license site is down for 10 days now, so we are not able to, close that transaction. The moment the site is open, within 3-4 days, we should close the transaction and, the revenue will start flowing in. So it's difficult to accurately predict. Some of this we are dependent on, external factors. But what I can tell you that all four transactions will be definitely closed. Two of them has already closed. Balance two will also be closed.
Okay, understood. Secondly, sir, is it fair to say that 1Q is seasonally the weakest quarter for us? And if we have done 66 days of working capital in 1Q, it is fair to say that the working capital from here on only should improve, given that the revenue growth in terms of absolute also will be higher in the subsequent quarter.
Yes, because typically if you look at even the pharma industry, how the revenues are split into four quarters, you will see that quarter 2 is generally 8 to 10% higher than quarter 1. Quarter 2 is the strongest quarter in the pharma industry, right? Because of the rainy season, because of which the spread of infectious diseases. So typically and historically also, even in our numbers, you will see that quarter two is generally 10-12%, you know, higher than quarter one. So on a high quarter base, on a high quarter numbers, your NWC in days goes down because the NWC doesn't increase in the same proportion. So you are right, you know. These numbers will improve in quarters to come.
And lastly, sir, Amazon India has significantly expanded its reach in selling medicines. So now they are servicing in almost all of their serviceable pin codes. So do we benefit out of this, and how big can this business become? And related to that, Zepto has also launched a pharmacy in August in four major metros. So if you can combine both of these in the same answer, that would be very helpful.
See, quick commerce foray into pharma or healthcare, I'm not too sure about, you know, how this is going to scale up and how this is going to impact, because there are a lot of challenges in quick commerce, especially on the pharma category. And the challenges are basically three. You know, number one is the range, because, you know, if the quick commerce value proposition is delivery in 10 minutes only, then there are a few medicines that they can deliver in 10 minutes. But if their value proposition is going to be, you know, fulfilling the prescription, then they won't be able to do that because, you know, the pharma, the number of SKUs is just humongous, right? So, you know, there are so many brands. Even we are carrying 75,000 SKUs. The whole market is carrying more than 150,000 SKUs, right? So if your value proposition is going to be fulfilling the prescription and there are four or five drugs written in the prescription, it will be very difficult for them to fulfill all four or five. Even the large organized e-pharmacies are not able to do it, right? So that will be number one challenge. Number two challenge will be on AOV, you know. So, you know, how to drive AOV on this? Because, you know, in 10 minutes, as I said, that whole range will not be available with you, so your AOV could be much, much lower. On a lower AOV, you will burn a lot of money, okay, because your delivery cost and other costs will be a very high proportion of your sales. Third is the prescription, you know, because the prescription, if you don't have a prescription, then, you know, you have to generate prescription through doctor calling. That adds a lot of cost to the system. So on a low AOV, you know, prescription generation is required, then that will eat up a lot of margins. Thirdly, fourthly, you know, in terms of if you want to go after, because of this prescription addition, your 10-minute thing may not work out. So it will take much longer time for you to supply the medicine. And but you won't be able to combine pharma delivery with other delivery, because if you want to combine both, pharma will take more time because of prescription, and because of that, the other things will also get delayed. So typically what is happening is they are delivering pharma separately and other SKUs separately from the same basket. So which adds significant additional cost, because on the same order you will have two deliveries. So because of all these challenges, I'm not too sure, you know, how much, you know, pharma will be profitable for quick com companies. But, you know, they are experimenting. Let's see how it works out.
And Amazon? And Amazon?
Amazon has a better opportunity than other people, because Amazon is not on quick commerce. Amazon is trying to fulfill the whole prescription range, right? Which is, you don't find anywhere, you find on Amazon. So the value proposition of Amazon is selection, not the speed.
Yes. So are we participating in that opportunity?
Yes, we supply to organized retailers. Yes.
Okay, great. Great, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishmohit Arora from Soik Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I had a question, like, for the full financial year, do we maintain that we'll grow our top line by 30%? Because sequentially, our growth has been lower for the last three quarters in a row now.
Sorry, what?
For the full financial year, do we maintain a 30% plus top line growth guidance? Because sequentially, for the last three quarters, our growth has been a bit slower.
So see, if you look at last whole financial year, FY25, our growth rate was more than 30%, right? So when we said that, you know, similar growth rate will continue in this year.
Right.
This year, on like-to-like basis, our growth rate was 31%.
Right, because I think beginning from the, I think this quarter, our base is pretty elevated when it comes to basically top line comparison versus last year.
Yeah, so the you know, the base of quarter two is higher, and that always has been, you know, for, if you look at many years, you know, for last few years, always quarter two is much higher than quarter one. So of course, you know, the our quarter two numbers have to be significantly better than quarter one to even deliver that kind of a growth over a quarter two base.
Right, right. And sir, the second question was that I think in first half of this financial year or for the full financial year, I think last phone call you alluded to that in H2 you're seeing positive cash flows. Do we expect a similar trend to continue at H1 will have positive cash flows, or for the full financial year we will maintain that we'll see positive cash flows?
We have said that, you know, for on a full year basis we will be positive cash flow.
Right.
And similarly for EBITDA margin also, we have said that on a full year basis we will be 4% plus.
Right. Sure, sir. All the best for the coming year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from ASK Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is, you know, if I want to understand a little bit more on the operations, say, in the last few quarters, and even if I look at the post, you know, fourth quarter versus the first, you know, first quarter, the number of district covered had basically come down from 500 to 469. And similarly, you know, the number of retailers, the number of SKUs, as well as the number of manufacturers. So, I mean, anything that, you know, you can add in this, or are we primarily looking to basically scale down, you know, and focus more on operational excellence?
Just one second. I'm just trying to pull out the earlier quarters this thing. Just give me a moment. Yeah, so you know, if you look at, if you sequentially also, if you look at quarter, my quarter 4 had 69,000 customers, quarter 1 had 71,000 customers, right? So it has not gone down.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, I was referring to the SKUs and the number of district covered, etc. That's the page number 6 versus page number 6.
Yeah, so if you look at, you know, in quarter to quarter, I mean, comparing exactly with the same quarter last year, for district covered in FY26 was 469, last year it was 448.
Okay, so there is a seasonality is what you're saying. I mean, even this data that you are providing, I mean, on a quarter on quarter.
How, I'm not able to understand how you're figuring out seasonality, which data point
So I'm looking at the data point, you know, where, you know, the number of SKUs handled, you know, in FY25, you know, is basically 80,600. The number of retail, you know, retailers is 95,300. And when I come into the first quarter, it shows the retailers are 71.
Full year with a quarter, okay. If you look at just quarterly numbers, you know, because sometimes what happens is that, you know, that same retailer may not have billed in every quarter. So it will get captured in the full year, but it may not get captured in that particular quarter in which we are not billing, right? So you look at quarter to quarter. So if I look at last year, quarter one, FY25, we have 60,000 customers. In quarter one of this year, we have 71,000 customers. That's a more like-to-like comparison.
Sure. And with respect to, you know, understanding the cost, I think one, clearly on a year-on-year basis, and I see there has been a stark improvement in the gross margin, and for the reason that you had explained that there has been a salary hike. But is it fair to understand going forward, you're talking about, you know, over 30% growth, the rate of change of the salary cost would incrementally start coming down, and incrementally that will start going to your EBITDA. So that is probably something that we should expect from the next 3 quarters?
Yes. You know, it's a simple math. You know, for example, you know, we have an operating cost of something like 89 crores in this quarter, right? So all the salary increases have already been baked in quarter one. Okay. And my growth is close to 10-11%, 9% operating cost, right? My revenue growth target is 30% for the full year, right? But on a quarter-on-quarter basis, my revenue growth is only 5%. So this 5% will, you know, expand to 30%. But my entire cost increase has already been baked in quarter one.
Sure. And if I just go through that, probably will exit your fourth quarter, if I just extrapolate this, by about four, anywhere between 4 to 4.5%, which is where for the full year you will basically
end up. Yes, three quarters has to be between that.
And, you know, with respect to, you know, the acquisition, I think, you know, as you had, you know, talked earlier that there is going to be part growth, you know, from, you know, your acquisition and partly from your, you know, existing business. Just to understand from a longer term perspective, as the pace catches up, you know, what is your thought process with respect to, you know, the rate of change of acquisition that, you know, has been very healthy till now?
So, rate of acquisition will go down in future, you know, in next 2-3 years, the rate of acquisition will go down because we will not need so many. I mean, we would have penetrated a good part of India, we would have expanded into various product segments. So, the need, the inorganic need will go down, right? So, today the inorganic is contributing almost 15-16% on our growth, right? So, in future, this 15-16% growth will taper down. The organic growth would continue.
Perfect. But the cash flows will be more robust, right? Because in that case, your acquisition, you know, the capex that goes into it, that will not be required. So, to that extent, your cash generation ability will increase substantially.
Yes. So, the idea is that, you know, we should be, you know, cash flow positive on the operating cash flow. So, whatever operating cash flows we generate, you know, that would give us the ability to acquire more in future. As of now, we are using IPO funds to do that.
Perfect, sir. And I mean, just one final question before I join back. What would be the, you know, OCF say in the last, you know, second half of last year and first quarter of this year? Just some color on that.
It was positive. Last 6 months was good positive. But as I told you, you know, we are working on multiple projects on, you know, on working capital reduction. And I believe, you know, among all the levers, that's the lower hanging lever for us. Because, you know, we can, at this scale, we can definitely optimize much more on working capital. Today, 66 days, and, you know, earlier we had given a target of, you know, getting 10% reduction or 60 days in 2 years. Now we are saying that by end of this financial year, we should be able to reach there.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Anti-Fragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. First question is, has Antero's approach to integrating acquisitions fundamentally evolved between, let's say, 2018-19 versus last 12 months?
Yes. Definitely, we have been learning from our experience over the last 4-5 years.
Would you be able to share one or two examples of that learning, please?
No, now earlier, you know, we were, you know, taking a much slower approach in integrating. Now we are taking a more aggressive approach in integrating. So, you know, from maybe we change the ERP systems or technology systems from day one. Earlier, we were waiting a much longer time to, you know, change those things because we wanted the existing sellers to, we didn't want to disrupt the business so much and we wanted a slower integration. Now we are much, much ahead in that. Our selection criteria has changed quite a bit now versus earlier. Now we are not looking at very small scale acquisitions. We are looking at, you know, the targets from multiple angles, as compared to how we used to look at it in the first 2 years of our existence. And that's why you would see that most of the acquisitions that we have done over the last 12 months have all been margin accretive.
Yeah, sure. And just to follow up, I mean, how do you motivate your team and maintain, you know, a productive company culture amid this rapid organic and inorganic expansion?
Now, this team has been around for a long time, you know, most of the senior members of this team have been around for last 6 years, you know. They know, we have grown together as a team. There are various kind of, you know, reward mechanisms in place, including ESOPs and all that. So, you know, this is an exciting business. Where would you find so many businesses where we're growing like 30% year on year with, you know, 10 acquisitions in a year being done? So it's a great learning experience also for a lot of people.
Sure it is, yeah. And lastly, what is the investment roadmap for your proprietary technology platform over the, let's say, next 1-3 years?
we have already built a lot of technology, you know. To be honest, we are one of the few companies that have developed our own ERP systems, you know, which can be customized, which can be integrated with Facebook, can be integrated with WhatsApp, which can be integrated with any other, you know, social media platform. So all these, you know, ERPs, we have built our own apps, customer-facing apps. We are also working on a health tech platform where, you know, we should be able to integrate directly with the retailer system. So all these, you know, tech investments have been made in the past. You know, we don't see much significant investments in tech going forward. It's already in place. It just needs to be, you know, utilized more or capitalized more.
So that means that as we start monetizing the tech, so investments have been made, it's all upfront pain that we have already endured. So the benefits should start flowing in incrementally as we go into this fiscal, later off of this fiscal and maybe next one.
Yeah, for example, if I'm saying that, you know, I'm targeting 10% reduction in working capital days, tech will play a very strong role in that. You know, without that tech, we wouldn't have been able to do it. Or we won't be able to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, one question on the revenue part itself, sir. You said that around 230 crores of acquisition is what is included in the current quarter. You know, how should we then look at these 15? That implies that, you know, around 7% growth is the organic. So how should we look at that and the 15% number? I mean, if you can just help me make sense of the revenue growth figures.
So I think, Balaji, you give a different name. We said 180 crores is included in organic, right?
So, Akshat, so the way it is, so there were certain acquisitions that were done in Q1 FY25 and certain revenue numbers were reported out of it into our financials of Q1 FY25 and some of it, which is the pre-acquisition revenue, whatever was that value is goes into the inorganic and whatever is excess over what we have already reported in the previous year goes into organic. So you will have to look at those numbers in an overall basis. If you try to split between what went into organic, inorganic, that's probably why you are getting a different number in your calculation.
So, just to confirm, you mean to say that, you know, some part of the acquisition revenue that has come in this quarter one, some part of that was also there in quarter one FY25?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Secondly, I wanted to ask if we exclude the amount of annual increment that is given to the employees this quarter, what would be the basis point impact on our margins, you know, from 3.6?
It would have been 20 basis points.
20 basis points. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, the acquisition that we've done last year in FY25, around 500 crores that we booked, you know, what kind of growth that we'll see on these acquisitions, you know, in this year?
Similar rate, what we are talking about, you know, 15% plus.
15% plus for the year. Thirdly, sir, if you can help us understand, you know, this tax rate for this quarter was quite low at 17%. How should we look at this for the full year as well?
So, Akshat, the tax rates for the full year will also be in the similar range because we are taking some tax efficient measures, which is actually helping us improve our the tax. So the annual numbers will also be somewhat in the similar range of 17-18%.
Okay. And this employee cost number that we've gotten for the year, 58 crores, some 2-3% quarter on quarter upside on that is what we can take as the number for the full year, right? We can.
Yeah, so you know, part of the manpower cost is fixed, you know. A certain part is also variable, which is mostly sales commission and all that. You know, so that will change in proportion to sales, but the rest of the cost will remain fixed.
Okay. But we can roughly take, you know, multiply it by 4 and, you know, put some upside to that as the full year number.
Yes.
Okay. And just one confirmation, sir. You said that we are targeting 500 crores of acquisition this year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prince from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So the first question is, in this quarter, there is no growth in our hospital customers. So if you can throw some light on it.
No, I mean, we are already at almost, 3,000 plus hospital customers, right? 2,500 plus, right?
Yeah, so there were no addition in the hospital customers. It was similar to the last quarter.
I mean, see, at the end of the day, we are getting more wallet share from the same hospitals. Even, lot of hospitals are getting consolidated also, right? So it's like, they are becoming part of one group. So it's getting reported as, one single customer.
Okay. So if you can share the incremental wallet share from these hospitals as well as those, distributors.
So we are not giving, kind of revenue split between hospitals hospitals and pharmacies, right? It's sometimes very difficult to get the data out also because a lot of, hospitals have OPD pharmacies, IPD pharmacies, sometimes the OPD pharmacies are outsourced to third parties, get counted as retail pharmacy while actually it should be counted as, pharmacy inside a hospital. So, the data classification is not very, very, accurate, I would say, in hospitals.
Right. In terms of wallet share, incremental wallet share, not the revenue split between the hospitals and retailers.
So how will you calculate the wallet share? The wallet share you will calculate by dividing the revenue by number of customers, right? And compare it over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Because what you're going to get an aggregate wallet share or let's say average wallet share, you won't get hospital-wise wallet share. So
right,
in some hospitals you might have 30% wallet share, in some hospitals you might have 10% wallet share. So what you would get is an average wallet share, not even wallet share you will get because you will not know what is the total purchase of that hospital. You will only get a revenue per hospital. Revenue.
Understood. Yeah, and also in terms of acquisitions, currently we have 4 in pipeline. So other than these 4, acquisitions pipeline, what opportunities do we see for merger and acquisitions?
So we are, we are evaluating a couple of more deals. Hopefully, in next 1 month, we should be announcing that. The work is going on as we speak.
Okay, and for this quarter, EBITDA margin was 3.6% and we have a target for FY26 like 4% plus. So apart from operating leverage, procurement efficiency as well as other metrics, product mix, like how they will contribute for this financial year.
So this year, what we have said is 4% plus EBITDA margin, right? And today, quarter one, the gross margins are at 9.9%, right? So for the rest, for the incremental EBITDA, large part of it will flow through operating leverage only because all the costs are there while, revenue is only 5% baked in the quarter one. So large part of it will come through operating leverage itself. Whatever incremental we get on gross margin will be an additional over and above our targets.
Okay, so understood. And just for the last part, what was the contribution from medical devices for this quarter?
Medical devices around 4-5%.
Okay, 4-5%. Yeah. So, and how do you look at for the going forward for this year?
So we are more aggressive on medical devices now. It's growing well. It has a higher margin structure also. A couple of deals that we are evaluating are in this space itself. So this share will grow.
Okay, sir. Yeah. Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for asking my question. So my first question is, I noticed that there are two step-down subsidiaries in our, list of subsidiaries. So just want to understand why we are, looking at this route and not a subsidiary route. Second one is we had very low X rate for this quarter. So what is the reason behind it?
Sorry, I didn't get your question very well.
So, sir, in our list of subsidiaries, we have two step-down subsidiaries. So, usually, we acquire the companies as a subsidiary and not route it through a step-down subsidiary. So, just want to understand what change does this makes us.
So, when you are referring to step-down subsidiaries, can you tell me which ones you are referring to as step-down?
Okay, just give me a minute, I'll just open.
I think you are referring to CPD Pharma and Chetna Pharma distributors, if I'm not wrong. Because basically, we are looking to merge a few entities to look at it from an operational efficiency. We are doing an operational pilot on if we merge the entities, how does it work, whether it helps us improve our overall operations and stuff. So there are two subsidiaries which we are merging with one of our existing subsidiaries. So in this quarter, the shares of those subsidiaries were sold from Entero to another subsidiary of Entero, and we will be merging those subsidiaries. That's the reason you're seeing a step-down subsidiary currently.
Yes, yes.
So we are in the process of that. So that's the reason you are seeing step down. Otherwise, typically all our acquisitions happen as a direct subsidiary of Entero.
Okay, got it. Great. And so my next question is...
question on the taxation. We are also working on certain tax-efficient way of funding our subsidiaries, which will help us to improve our overall effective tax rate. The reason being that we will be able to utilize the earlier tax losses and set off our overall tax. That's the reason you are seeing a lower effective tax rate. And we believe our tax rate for the full year will be in the same range.
Okay, so 16%, 16-18%.
Yeah, 16-17% is what it we expect it to be for the full year as well for FY26.
All right, sir. And so my next question is on the gross margin. I mean, from last quarter, we have been adjusting 3% of gross margin due to change in contract. And want to confirm whether this is for a single client only, and do we expect any such changes in coming period?
This is for a single client only, to answer your specific question. And so far, we do not anticipate any other major impact. As it stands today, we don't anticipate any other major impact of the same nature currently.
So, sir, how does this change, helps the other entity obviously, because of this change, our consolidated growth rate, looks like a bit down, but how does this change helps the other entity that we made the change in contract?
No, it was not a change that was driven by us. It was more driven by the client, right? So, there are various kind of services that you can provide. Either it's a full revenue, which will impact full revenue recognition, or we say that we just provide you the services, we'll bill you for the services, and not you don't have to buy and sell from our books. So, so this is what they wanted, so this is what we did. We don't see any other contract right now, existing contract that can go through this route.
Okay, great. And so my last question is, did we do any kind of assessment, benchmarking with the global distributors, say cost acquisition, customer acquisition cost, or, cost to serve per order? If you could provide this data points, that would be helpful.
See, although if we compare, with US, the market is completely different. If we compare with US, Europe, the market will be very different. Every country is very unique. India is, I'm telling you, in pharma itself is such a unique country, In which country you have branded generic, such a big proportion of pharma industry, right? either it's a, you know, most of the geography, either it's research molecule or patented molecules, and then you have generics. India has three category, four category. You know, patented, then branded generic, then trade generic, and then generic generic. No country has a structure like India, you know. No country has, you know, the complexity of the geography that we have. You know, it's like from such a huge, entire US has not more than 80,000-90,000, you know, pharmacies. We have a customer base which is larger than the total, you know, population of pharmacies in US. So it will not be a good idea to benchmark with them. We'll have to create our own benchmarks and measure us against our own benchmarks.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ish Mohit Arora from Soik Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a follow-up question. Are we seeing any, do we have any view on the market creation of weight loss drugs in India? And are we seeing any impact on our revenues also?
Ish Mohit, we are not able to hear you clearly. Can you please repeat your question?
And be a little slow.
Hi, sir. Am I audible better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir, I was asking, see, are we seeing any market creation happening in the weight loss drugs in India? And is our do we see any positive impact from growth from there also?
Yeah, so, you know, there are two weight loss drugs launched, you know, recently, which is one is Mounjaro and the second is Wegovy. So, and we are distributors for both these companies, you know. In fact, you know, we are doing significant sales for LILDD in India.
Right. That's it. And any idea on how the how do you see the market evolving in India itself over the next couple of years?
I think next year in FY26, next calendar year, you will have a lot of generic companies coming in semaglutide market, right? So that should expand the market significantly.
Right. That's it, sir, from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to ask if you can share the cash balance on the books right now.
Yeah, so we have about 365 crores of cash on our books currently. You will not see it all in one place. So it will be in different line items because the way the investments are done. We have about 365 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divya Agrawal from FICOM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. And I'm new to the company, so my apologies if there are some basic questions on that. So, sir, firstly, if you look at this quarter, so our inorganic growth was around 13% compared to 18% in the previous quarter. So what were the key factors driving this reduction?
Sorry, no, our growth rate on organic growth this quarter is higher than the previous quarter.
Okay, because in the PPT, if you see, the consolidated growth was around 28% and the entero organic growth was 15%. So the balance would be inorganic growth, right?
Inorganic, yes, correct.
So that's 13%.
So here, Divi, I'll tell you, here what is happening is you are looking at 28%. The like-to-like growth is 31%. And out of 31%, 15% is organic and 16% is inorganic.
After adjusting that
3%, because you need to look at like-to-like.
If you look at slide number 6 of our investor presentation, you will see the breakup between organic and inorganic on slide 6. Quarter and quarter.
Sure, sir. So, got your point. And secondly, on the acquisition side, so considering that our primary objective of acquiring smaller distributors is to expand geographic presence and increase the number of SKUs, so if we were to achieve the same organically, what would be the estimated time and capital investment required?
See, the only thing in terms of time, it could be anywhere. It could be 2 years, 3 years, right? Or it could be even longer than that. In terms of the good question is, you know, it's buy versus build, right? So what is the extra that you are paying to buy as compared to build? Okay. And what we are paying in goodwill is the only amount which is paying over and above what we are physically acquiring the assets. Because those assets, even if we build organically, we would have to put, right? So only the premium over and above the net assets that you are acquiring is what, is your cost of buying versus building it yourself, right? I think our total goodwill will be what in our balance sheet, like less than 500 crores, yeah, about 400. So let's say, a revenue of 6,000 crores has been built with, let's say 400, 500 crores of goodwill, premium that was paid.
So as we are on the goodwill side, so I just wanted to know, so goodwill right now as on FY25 is 16% of the total assets. So would it be prudent to write it off entirely, given that this could potentially improve our return ratios?
Yeah, but then it's tested for impairment every year.
See, under Ind AS, you need to test goodwill for impairment. Under the accounting standard, there was the concept of goodwill being amortized over a 5 to 10 year period. But under Ind AS, under which we are covered, the Ind AS standards require that we test the goodwill for impairment at every financial period. So we
and there's no amortization, right?
There's no amortization. Only if at all there is any impairment, then that is taken into the books. But otherwise, it's only impairment. Only impairment testing that needs to be done, no amortization.
So, and lastly, sir, there's a money control article dated 30th May 2025, which reports that, Servier, which is a French drug maker, so it terminated the exclusive distribution agreement with Entero after AIOCD intervened over monopoly concerns. So, could this be a similar thing going forward as well in our acquisitions?
No, let me first clarify that article because we never gave any response to that article. First of all, Servier, we are exclusive partner for them to promote certain of Servier brands in India, like we are for Abbott or like we are for Roche, right? So that contract was never terminated. What was the point of AICD was that, why Entero is only supplying to all the stockists. So what was agreed that, Servier CFAs can also supply to the same stockist, instead of Entero. But marketing and promotion is still with us exclusively. So,
okay, sir. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
So that Servier partnership has never been terminated in terms of marketing and promotion.
So right now we have three agreements, right? Roche, Abbott, and Servier.
For pharma demand generation, yes. For pharma marketing,
right.
Yes.
For pharma marketing, right. And the margin for this would be?
Promotion margins are different than distribution margins. The promotion margins are higher, but the cost is also there. So we are putting around 150 people to promote and market Abbott and Servier drugs.
Okay, and the incremental margin that we get here is? If we want to compare the margins here, so how much business point upside
is? Margin is a confidential information between us and the company, right? So it is difficult for us to disclose in a public forum.
Sure, sir. Thanks. I get that point. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. I would like to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you once again and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.